podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Tony Review system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
G'day, my name's James and welcome to another episode of the Oz F1 Show. In this episode, we are reviewing the Portuguese Grand Prix. And I'm joined by my friends and yours at this early hour in the morning from the Soviet South. It's Tommy T and Campy. Hello, lads.
G'day.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Well, you guys are doing pretty well because you've got your Lakeside Drive mugs and full of delicious coffee. The best coffee in the world is made by Tommy T.
Yes.
There is no doubt about that.
I reckon Little Rebel's pretty good.
You would too.
Jamal.
If that doesn't give us a specific location and industry to be...
Sorry.
Doing banter of it, I don't know what it is. Boys, Portugal, the track of the roller coaster, basically, was a very interesting race. Thank goodness for no red flags. I got to say that.
Yeah, I'm not used to it.
I was praying for one when Danny Rick was in fifth place, though. Went long, super long,
safety
great
car
pace.
Would have been awesome.
Oh, how good would it have been? Unfortunately, it didn't happen. You know what I loved about this race more than anything?
Go on.
The helicopter shots.
Yeah.
If you go back to that episode we recorded of the Suzuka Grand Prix way back in the start of the year that we haven't done anything with, do you remember the camera shots from that Grand Prix from the helicopter?
They were lunatics, the old helicopter
even
drivers.
Get it on the car and it was shaking like they were in a bloody hurricane or something. But these ones, oh, it was great. I thought some of the camera work was brilliant. It's good to watch.
Yeah, and also the looking at the helicopter coming up over, you know, what was it, six or something? There's just a shot back up and the helicopter coming up and over the top.
Yeah.
It's just the whole thing. I think the helicopter pilot is the same person each time around, but whoever it is, just amazing flight. It's like just constantly being in a Top Gear episode and just, you know, waiting for the boys to say like, oh, it's getting very close.
Yes.
I reckon that's a job you want if you're in F1 full time.
You reckon that, or would you go safety car driver?
Nah, helicopter driver all day.
I would not let you drive a helicopter, Campy.
Why not?
Just.
Why not?
Do I need any more evidence?
I'm confident. I've done a solo flight by myself.
Please in refer back to the rest of this podcast archive as to why you shouldn't be behind a helicopter.
I keep telling you guys, I'm like just playing a role on here. I'm just playing the flute. Playing the dunce.
playing the dunce.
Playing.
You know, yeah. Being authentic as the dunce is not the same thing as playing.
Oh, good morning to you too, fellas.
But lads, we had a good pre-drinks podcast. If you haven't yet listened to that and you wanted to listen to see what we sort of thought would happen, please go back and listen to that one first. But I thought, lads, we should start at the very back of the grid with, I'm not even sure why this person is here. Nikita Mazepin finished in 19th and even got a 5-second penalty for holding up Sergio Perez when Perez was leading. So he came last by an extra 5 seconds.
Can we stop referring to him by his name and just call him the Russian driver?
Yeah, well, he can't even be called Russian, can he? It's like, you know, Russian Automotive Federation is the neutral banner that he's flying. So he's just RAF.
RAF.
Look, he was terrible. Future world champion, though, Mr. Williams. <Williams.
laughs> No, nope.
He's clearly been listening to this podcast and going, these guys make outlandish statements all the time.
I'll try that.
At least he apologised like a man afterwards and didn't carry on over the radio like he has previously. So that was good. Give him a thumbs up for that. He took full responsibility and...
You are being positive this podcast.
I like it.
This is you trying to find something for him, which is interesting.
No, there's a dark
tastes
like
vinegar coming out of my mouth too.
But his teammate, who's only there for marketing reasons, Mick Schumacher, doing an incredible job against Latifi, finishing ahead of him, in fact, in 17th. We actually saw a little bit of Schumacher, the TV director, the segment that is dead for Tommy T from last year in TV review. But the TV director, at least at the back of the pack, wasn't doing such a bad job.
No. We got to see him for once, which is good. But I was surprised, actually, because we had such a long track that we actually didn't get a lot of lapped cars, which was nice for a change.
Well, I think we did. I think we just didn't see
towards the very end. Usually it's about lap 20 at the moment.
For Nicholas Latifi, normally it's lap 3.
Yes.
Yeah, Mick had a strong weekend. Unfortunately, he's in the worst car on the grid.
Mm.
So we're not going to see a lot of him. But he's smashing his teammate. Like,
oh. But he's the, I don't know if that's...
Convincingly.
Don't know if that's saying that much because that guy's a squid.
Yeah.
But again, you're right.
Staying on my positive frame of mind, he won F3, he won F2, and now he's in F1. And he was a good driver in all of those. Callum Ilott actually got a gig on
practice. Yeah, we didn't talk about that yesterday. Yeah.
On Friday, and he was he was superb. He was really good, actually. So yeah. I actually think Ilott probably should have had the drive.
He just doesn't have enough cash.
Well, money.
He's
works.
A better driver. Doesn't have cash though.
Yeah, well, yep. Let's get cynical now. No, all that was really good. But Schumacher had a great weekend.
He did
really solid. Good for him to get some experience driving around some other cars for a bit more than just the first couple of laps.
Yeah, and as you say, I mean, the fact that he's in the worst car in the grid, and I think Williams has sort of come a long way, and especially against Latifi, who was challenging Russell for most of the race as well, it was good to see Schumacher just, you know, a couple of seconds ahead or behind rather than, you know, a full lap back, basically, you know, 60 seconds to Mazepin. It was absolutely ridiculous. Let's talk about Williams, otherwise known as Alpine if you're David Croft, because apparently you can't tell the difference between Carbon. The two of these cars. Which is a bit ridiculous. Campy, your thoughts on Williams this weekend?
Russell, good qualifying, very solid. Thought they'd be in the hunt for the points, but he was rubbish. He clearly set that car up for one lap. And I don't mind them trying that one lap, see if they can hang with it, get a good strategy. But it was clear after 10 laps that setup was not for the race. I think Latifi beat him in the end. And passed him a couple of times. I mean, they'd swap positions in the pit stop phases.
Latifi didn't. Latifi came 18th and George came 16th. But for a lot of the race, George was not in positive position.
Yeah, Latifi passed him on track, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. At one stage he did. So they stopped a couple of times each as well. So I'm not 100% sure what's going on with their strategies. I think they're just trying to... It's still a glorified test team, in my opinion. But they're not as good as I thought they were going to be this year. I thought they'd make a big jump, but they really haven't been pushing the likes of the Alfa Romeo, which they probably would have been targeting this year. So,
yeah, and Tommy T, I think, you know, they said that coming into Bahrain for testing. George was saying this is our focus, is Alfa Romeo and looking for that at the grid. And even in Bahrain and the first qualifying session, they looked really good. He looked really good. Yeah. But it seems like a lot of hot air, doesn't it, really?
Yeah. I wonder if it's what Campy's saying, is they're so focused on getting into Q3. That's their goal in qualifying, that they've just sacrificed Sunday and they just can't get a car that's going to work for the 66 laps. So...
It could be tactical for his career too. We know this kid can drive over one pace. We know he's good in qualifying, but he just wants to set that car alight and make it optics from outside that he's really driving outside of that car from a television view standpoint, because we don't really talk about them or see them. That could be a reason.
That's a good point. Let's talk about Alfa Romeo.
Personality though, that
didn't like his apology.
That interview he did on the track with Norris I was like, dude, show me something. Make me want to like you. Don't be so British and like squid like, you know. More of the same from over there.
That was a terrible interview and such a wasted opportunity from Sky Sports. Like, what the hell are you guys talking about? Yeah. And also, they cut so much out of it. You can tell when the weather is so totally different from each shot. It's like, oh, it's sunny. Now it's really overcast. Oh, there's Alfa Romeo standing behind. Now there's no one standing behind them. It's like,
ta-da.
How are you there for and what content did you cut out? Guys, hurry up. Be better. Anyway, let's talk about Alfa Romeo. Kimi Raikkonen, as you said, Campy, before we finished, did not have all of his attention on the track.
No, he was flicking with switches and playing with some modes, and he just didn't even realize he ran up the backside of his teammate, which is a shame. He was they were looking good. Giovinazzi was competitive. They were never going to get any points. But again, Raikkonen's had a better three races than what Giovinazzi's had this year. And yeah, it's a shame because I think Raikkonen would have got ahead and then ultimately, you know, put a bit more pressure on the Gaslys. I think Gasly was ahead of Danny Rick and Alonso at the time. So, yeah, it would have been interesting to see how they went, but yeah, it was a shame for him.
Because especially considering last year the mega drive that he put into this track, yes, it was slightly wet then, but the same thing happened again in terms of tyres not turning on as quickly, and we saw, you know, the heroes of the sport, if you will, Seb and Alonso and Lewis being able and Max being able to turn them stuff on, those tyres on rather with experience, and I mean, he is the most experienced out there. So
he was starting to do the same thing. Unfortunately, he just did that on the pit straight.
Yeah.
And Tommy, I was surprised to not see any damage to Giovinazzi. When you saw the onboard from Raikkonen, it almost looked like there was sparks coming out the left rear of Giovinazzi. It's like, okay, well, then they've buggered both of them.
No, I think it was just a clean hit on that rear tyre. So luckily no puncture and he could just continue. No body damage
whatsoever. Super lucky.
Super lucky. And it looked like where he hit, where Raikkonen's wing actually touched the wheel, was sort of in the middle where those...
Middle of tyre, yeah.
Not on the edges where the...
Yep.
I can't remember what they call them for the life of me.
Edges.
What do they call the side...
Sidewalls?
Yeah, they've got it. I can't remember. It's too
early. Oh, good. Lucky you're a technical reporter on tech.
I'm good at the tech. I just, you know...
You can't figure out his mic tech because he keeps cutting out. Thank you. Do that.
Oh, it's cutting out because it's a shit league, Tommy.
Stop playing with it then.
Yeah, I know. bloody hell.
Continue. Talking about tyre tech, Campy.
Yeah, no, it was good.
It was good. Good.
Alpha.
good recovery.
Nah.
At 5:44 in the morning. Giovinazzi. Look, I think that car...
He's pretty solid, man.
Interesting that you say, Campy, that they're never going to be in the points because for a while, I mean, the midfield is so close and they are very good at... And Giovinazzi, rather, is getting better at picking up the scraps and the mistakes of the bottom of the mid-pack, so to speak. And 10th and 9th are, you know, able to be had by them. We saw that last time around. And as you said, you know, Kimi's taking the FIA to court to try and get those 2 points back from last time around. But Giovinazzi's growing more and more and more. But Callum Ilott's better.
Yes.
Ooh. Yeah.
Giovinazzi is one of those drivers for me. I didn't know he was a paid driver until literally about 3 weeks ago when I saw a video on YouTube. I think they called it the low-key paid driver. the thing for me is when you're in these junior teams, you need to be setting the track a lot. You need to be getting some, you know, in your first 2 years, you need to be getting 3 or 4 results that are far outperforming your car every year. But you need to get the media along with you, hyping you up and talking about you constantly. So that like your stocks go up within the sport, and Giovinazzi for me hasn't done that. Yes, he's been pretty consistent with Kimi after his first year for the last 2 years, but he's not someone that is generating the headlines like he should be, and that's probably because of his car. I mean, he's Italian too. A lot of what we get's British anyway. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they're not going to hype up Italians like they would. But, he just doesn't seem to be – his name is not being put in the right places. So, I think Ilott would probably deserve that drive moving forward.
Well, and, I mean, he's another English guy, right? So, in terms of the attention given from at least the broadcast that we get
– luckily.
– is amazing. Thanks. And my coffee brought to me. Amazing.
Eclair.
Aston Martin, let's talk about them because we were excited for Seb Vettel going into 10th, and we were like, great, he's outperformed his teammate, and then nothing.
I think Vettel would have gotten the points if he had have had all the upgrades on the car.
Potentially. Well, those upgrades weren't doing anything for Stroll because he sucked.
I was going to say Stroll ended up in the 14.
That is a great point.
Yeah, he was struggling to get out of the back. He couldn't make any moves. In a car that's supposed to be as good as it is, he was really...
Context is important. Can I just throw in there?
That's what she said.
But that is the context, yes.
Thanks, Kevy.
We need to have a chat.
Subtle as a sledgehammer. Sick. He was really struggling to get through the back of the field, back to where he should have qualified. So I don't know what's going on. He seems like the kind of guy that needs to qualify well and just stay there.
Seb could run the race pace for the first 15 laps, but after that, it died off and it dropped away, and you've seen him getting tire killer. Yeah, which that tells me that the car and the way it's designed is not using the tires like they should, and they're pushing just to do what every other midfield team is doing as a standard lap.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
This is sort of going back to Force India, like in terms of the rise and fall, the roller coaster that team has had. You know, back when it was Force India rather, and driving earlier in that time, they were doing amazing things, and then rules change and then they fall away again. And unfortunately for Seb, you've seen this is starting to go down the roller coaster kind of vibe right now, which is a shame for him, quite honestly. But what I was also going to say is, Campy, I think this ties in very well with your Lance is not consistent theory.
Yeah.
No. That theory, if you haven't heard me talk about it before, is Lance will outperform the car 1 week and then he won't do it again for four races.
Yeah.
And the problem within those four races before he outperforms the car again is that he'll be on the pace for qualifying, but his race pace won't be there. And it just seems like, there's just zero consistency in what he does.
Yeah, and it just is so annoying. I just don't like it. It's just not a vibe for me. Let's talk about Alpine, because Alpine were bloody good this weekend. Surprised. I didn't think they were going to be midway through the race. I was like, nah, they did pretty well in practice and Corley was okay, but they've sort of fallen away again. Fernando Alonso, get out of my way, including at Danny Ric, which was a bit sad, but whew, Campy, he stomped.
He stormed home on those hards, which makes a lot of sense because Renault. They were really good on the medium and hard compound tyres last year when Danny Ric was driving it. So it looks to me like Fernando Alonso really found that setup that Danny Ric had last year in that car, and he stormed home. Now, I think he came from about 13th back to 8th once he put those hard tyres back on. And once he'd passed Danny Ric and Carlos Sainz, there was about a 9-second gap with 10, 11, 12 laps to go. And he was coming home, and he finished about 3/4 of a second behind his teammate in Ocon.
Yeah.
So that says to me, Alonso's figured out this car. He's just got to get his one lap stuff right, which he has done throughout his whole career. And it's good to see. I think, he's made up that difference in learning that car. He's made a big step from last weekend to this weekend.
Big time. It was impressive to see him back doing what he does well. I think he was probably disappointed in himself with his qualifying because he knew that car had pace and they'd shown that in practice, especially when you see where Ocon qualified. To be honest, you're probably a bit more disappointed that Ocon couldn't keep that position. He dropped back a few, I'm pretty sure. So,
yeah, but Ocon he fell victim to where he was in the race pack. You know, it was Norris, both Ferraris, and Ocon, and they were sort of in a procession the whole Grand Prix. Now, when those cars are so tight and so quick, it becomes like a DRS train. It's a bit like on the Grand Prix on the virtual stuff on the video game. Sometimes you see it.
Yeah.
They just can't pass or do anything because the cars are so evenly matched.
And everyone's on DRS.
If you push, you're burning out tyres or you're heating something, your temperature's going up.
Yeah.
And then if you save your battery up for a lap, really doesn't change too much because of all the other things going in the car. So
yeah.
I think he was subject to those circumstances. But if the roles had been reversed and Alonso was in that position, I think Alonso would have made moves towards the end of the race.
Yeah.
That Ocon couldn't do.
For sure.
Yeah, against better opposition.
There's no doubt to me that he's back in terms of, you know, he's had a couple of years out of the car or out of our Formula One car.
Yeah.
It's not taken him long to get his sort of mind around this Alpine. And certainly he's a better driver than Ocon. I don't think there's any shadow of a doubt about that. But Ocon had some glimpses this weekend, to be honest.
Yeah, Tommy? Ocon outperformed Danny Ric in qualifying once last year. So he is going to have a race where he's better than Alonso this year.
Yeah, he qualified well. I think he's got a year up on that car as well. You've got to remember that.
Yeah, totally. I was being a smart ass.
And we know that Renault drives different according to Danny Ric. So there is going to be that learning curve.
Yeah.
But Alonso is a champ and knows what he's doing, so he'll figure it out pretty quick.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, that whole team still doesn't quite make a lot of sense to me. The Alpine, no Cyril, there's no designated team principal. They've got Campy, some MotoGP dude who was responsible for Valentino Rossi or something. It's your favourite sport, MotoGP. I've even had to create a sub-channel in Discord for you lot to bloody talk about it. Imagine, anyway.
Just before we move on, big shout-out to Jack Miller and the fans in Townsville. I'm sure they had a very big last night. Jack Miller got his second win in MotoGP last night, but his first one was his first win in 2016 was when it was rain affected. This was the first dry race he won, and he's been under pressure a bit like Danny Ric has, and came out and he thumped the field last night. It was great to watch.
Wow.
Superstar of just a lad too.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Cool. What was that?
Something about dry motorbiking.
You guys are ignorant. Our fans like MotoGP just as much.
Someone motorbiked better than someone else.
Whoever the guy is who is now in for
just go and play basketball, you pussy.
Let's
just get touch and flop and die. At least play basketball in the 90s when it was good. Not in 2020 when you can't even bloody watch it without it's like watching bloody Biden on a stage, you muppet. Jeez.
LeBron anyway, my point was.
And says
my point was there's some MotoGP dude, Davide, some kind of name, who he's now. He came along to Alpine and they were like, I don't know, was it Quali or something? They hyped up Sky, hyped up this interview that Paul D'Arresta had to leave the commentary box to go and do this interview, and it was terrible. They're like, so what are you bringing from MotoGP to this? Not much.
There's more wheels in this formula. Yes. It's different. It's
double the wheels. Great. Wow. What a time to be alive. Anyway, I don't think he's having any influence at all on the team. I think it's Fernando and it's the legacy of Danny Ric.
Yes.
We got an interesting look into Renault as an operation. Great interview with Mr. Italiano. I wasn't there, but I did watch it as a fan. But he was saying when they were in Renault, it was Danny Ric that was constantly building them up, saying, "Yes, we are good enough and we can do this." Whereas moving into a McLaren and coming from a Red Bull, it's sort of ingrained in what they do. Everyone's there to win, and they didn't need.
They know what winning is.
So it's easy when you know what winning is too, but. Renault as an organisation are still trying to figure that out and get that culture within it. Now, I think Cyril was the right man for the job, but I didn't like to see him go. But that's just interesting to hear the perspectives from the inside about what the team culture's like, and they just may be suffering from a bit of their culture issues, as I take a pot shot from over here in Australia. So.
Let's talk about AlphaTauri, boys. AlphaTauri, AlphaTauri, Yuki Tsunoda, not exactly maybe living up to the expectations that everyone had. Campy?
No, he's not.
A couple of rookie mistakes here and there. He did have a good on-track pass around the hairpin.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool, but
After race one, we had really high expectations for him.
We did.
And... Two races later, or three races, whatever we're in now, I can't remember. he hasn't lived up to the expectation, but he'll only get better throughout the year.
Yeah.
You've got to give these guys at least...
Here we go.
You've got to give them at least...
Six half, or seven races.
Seven, eight, nine races.
Half the season. You know, we're probably a bit nicer on them these days just because of our culture.
He what wouldn't does have that had even a, mean?
No, but 20 years ago, if he had driven like this four races, they would have outed him straight away. Get
yeah,
out.
You're
you
not wrong.
Your chance, you failed. In our culture in these day and age, like, they make the decision, they commit to him for the whole year. So realistically, they're going to give him half a year before they actually start looking at his performances on track,
yeah.
off track, how he's setting up the car, make a decision for the future, which I think we should go back to a bit of old school, a bit of cutthroat.
He's definitely not the worst rookie though, so.
No, he's not.
Far
he's
from
got
it.
That going for him.
But far you've got to remember, he's yeah. keeping Honda happy at the moment, yeah. so.
That's it. I think Gasly's just making him look worse as well because Gasly is doing well. However, this is probably not the points finish they were hoping for. They were probably hoping a bit higher. I think it's just how it shook out with the pit stops. And to be honest, if McLaren didn't stuff up their pit stop, Danny Rick probably would have been another spot above.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine just not stuffing up a pit stop. That was a, as I said,
well, four yeah, and a half seconds.
Well, to be went honest, on, and we'll talk about it, but it looks like he overshot his pit box.
Yeah, no, he can't do it. Anything wrong. It must be Seb Vettel's pit crew has just moved across to McLaren for that one stop, or Valtteri Bottas's pit crew. It's the same crew. They just put different colours on each time.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Gasly. Tommy T, he didn't really have an amazing weekend. This track potentially not the best track for them, but they were kind of just in no man's land for most of it.
Yep, nothing. He is qualifying really well, though, this year. I think he's got to get a lot of credit for that because that car is better, but it's still not competing with the McLaren and the other kind of top of the midfield. It's kind of right in the middle to bottom of the midfield, and he's really qualifying well considering. He just can't do anything on a Sunday, really, unless he's lucky. He does like to take those risks, and he will get some results because of that. But
yeah,
he kind of needs something like a safety car to happen at an opportune time. Otherwise, he's kind of just stuck in 10th. It's kind of his inevitability.
Yeah.
Hypothetical for you. What organisation outside of Red Bull takes a punt on Gasly?
The French one.
LP?
Yeah.
I don't think
they
do.
Whatever
though.
They decide to call themselves next year, they'll just change it again.
Renault.
I don't think
Renault Fiat.
I don't think they will because if you like, there was so much conversation about this leading from preseason, but now if you actually look at the younger talent they've got, like Oscar Piastri, and yes, okay, Australian, yeah. so we're biased, but the already what he's showing in F2, it would be cheaper for them dollars wise, and you know. Yeah. But budget cap is important to consider for all of this stuff these days as well, to look at their younger program and see who they can promote, because realistically, I don't think they pull in a Red Bull guy. And we know that Gasly's not going back to Red Bull actual. So maybe he's a bit in no man's land as a result of that camping. Maybe he's that Ericsson.
Or is he like a Kvyat where he's stuck inside that Red Bull fold and he's not going to be get out of it because of the tainted experience that he had in the top team?
I think it's going to be more like that. The only alternative is if Sebastian does retire or Kimi or maybe the Haas seats open up. Things like that. He's not going to get to a better team than what he's currently in, I don't think.
So more of like a Kevin Magnussen kind of stepping sideways.
Yeah, he'll be kind of what Sergio Perez was until the last couple of years.
K-Mag and Grosjean, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very competent.
Yep.
Yeah.
In the right car, but just don't cut it when it at that next level.
Which is a shame, really, because, you know, the fact how he bounced back from that massive disappointment from that 6 month in the Red Bull, you know, but at least he's still got an F1 drive, you know, it's still better than Albon, who's crying in DTM. You know.
True.
Which is unfortunate. But anyway, look, I think you're right. I don't think he's going to Renault. That's for sure. Ferrari have pace again, which is actually really good to see, to be perfectly honest. And they're a little bit more competitive against McLaren this time around. Carlos Sainz finishing in 11th and Charles Leclerc finishing in 6th. Carlos, though, I think driving so well and better than Charles.
You mentioned yesterday, Campy, he He did really well, and you made the call very early that he was going to outshine Leclerc. I think it was just luck this time on what tyre allocation and how they did the pit stops.
Well, Ferrari took the punt trying to get the undercut on Norris way too early. They, you know, he did it 5 or 6 laps too early, which ultimately compromised his race, which meant he dropped out of the points. You know, he just had no pace on that tyre in the last 10 or so laps, which was a shame. But what happened? I missed what happened at the start because he was right up there with Norris.
He did so well.
He was in front of Norris.
He was on the softer compound.
At the start?
Yeah.
What did he have a mistake where he went off track and then dropped back again, or I missed it?
Norris?
No, I'm talking Sainz. Because he was in third or fourth at the start of the race, and then there was something happened and he got shuffled back to sixth or seventh.
It was just on the restart and then just pace. He just didn't have it to continue on.
Yep. And literally track position. So just putting, you know, having other cars around him, putting in better positions than him on the track. Because those softs did fire up faster. But as you say, Tommy, as soon as the safety car came out, which wasn't too long, I think the advantage was kind of lost, if that makes sense.
Yep.
But you're absolutely right, Campy, though. If, in terms of him firing up and quickly, the dude's got it. Like, I think that car suits him. I think we said this yesterday, a lot better than other new drivers in new teams suiting that car.
Yep.
Yeah, I think the three guys, like your Alonso, Danny Ric, and your Sainz, new to the team, so we've been giving a bit more extra credit and time to get used to the cars.
Free passes.
Free passes, that's what I'm looking
Seb
for.
Seb doesn't get a pass, does he?
No.
He's got 4 world championships, he shouldn't need one.
Alonso's got 2.
Yeah, but that's
like
half.
Jordan, he's got 6 championships and LeBron's got 4.
Here we go.
Jordan doesn't need a pass. LeBron needed 5 to get there. So,
the Oz F1 MotoGP NBA show.
I mean, those three have seemed to pick up the race pace side of things this weekend and been on par. And if not better than their teammates this weekend.
Yep.
But, shame for Sainz. Leclerc. I don't know what I
think. Does Leclerc things. He's just solid, man.
Yeah.
He's reliable.
He's lightning over one lap.
Yep. I think he's kind of grown out, like we saw Maximus Verstappen grow out of his childish kind of things. Not that Leclerc had as many, but he was getting pretty petulant with Seb, pretty tic-tacky kind of stuff, and now he's just reliable guy. We saw things like at Monaco when he just threw the toys out of the cot when he didn't qualify well and just rode his day off, or things like, I think it was around the Red Bull Ring when he did similar, but now he's just bringing it home really consistently. He's qualifying well, he's racing well, he's not really taking risks and putting it further ahead, but he's just bringing home solid points, which is probably what Ferrari want after the last season they had.
Yeah, and I think also, and this sort of ties into McLaren, who we'll talk about now as well, but the attitude that he's taken, as in Charles taken, Lando seems to have taken at the same time. Like Lando has stepped up, and even Zach said it, you know, from Abu Dhabi last year to now, Lando's stepped it up in terms of his performance. And, you know, he even said as well, attitude off track, Campy's happy about this, less Twitch streaming, less gaming, and more focusing on driving, which is absolutely the right attitude. And I think, I mean, you know, 2020 is different and whatever, but it's good and is showing for both the young guys. It's kind of just a shame that George Russell doesn't have the sort of same car to prove that similar kind of attitude. Not that he showed it last weekend, but anyway. But Lando, though, still stunning. And an amazing performance this time around as well, sticking in fifth. I think he's outperforming the car, Campy, don't you?
No, I don't. I think McLaren is the third best car on the grid at the moment. So I don't think they've got the pace to beat, like straight up, they don't have the pace to beat the Red Bulls or the Ferraris. So fifth is where
Ferraris.
Sorry. And Mercedes. So, fifth is where he needs to be realistically. And if you look who was behind him, you had Ocon behind him, you had Leclerc behind him, and Alonso, then his teammate. So, clearly it's the best of the rest. So, I think that's where he should be performing. I don't think he nailed his qualifying like he would have wanted to this weekend.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, keep getting fifth, third best car on the grid. It's where you should be, really.
Yeah.
They're going to drop off this season too because they've spent all their upgrades just getting the car on the grid. So they need to bank points early and we'll just see them slowly drift off towards the end of the
year. And then the focus will shift to the next regs, next year, all those kind of things as well.
Yeah.
And that's what you said, Campy. You know, it's there's no world championship this year for Danny Ric in the McLaren. So whilst it's nice for him to get some good results, and he actually performed pretty well this on the race day, from 16th to 11th, 10th by lap, just after the safety car, lap 7, 8.
Yeah.
Was pretty good as a drive and had other strong midfield cars around him too. And that was our biggest concern, was just being able to get past cars with similar kind of aero packages and stuff as well. So, yeah, I think, I mean, fifth and ninth is good for McLaren, but they, as you say, they kind of need more sooner. And whilst Andreas and Zach are still just totally stoked to have Danny Ric in the team, and no surprises there at all. And even Danny saying, oh, yeah, I spoke to Andreas. He's like, just chill, dude. You got a couple more races. Well, actually, he doesn't really have that many more races.
Yeah. No, I think we're pretty harsh because we love Danny so much and we want him to do well. But if you look back, he's had 3 points finishes in three races. I think that's a good start. Whether they're as high as they should be, up for debate. But to be honest, as long as he's consistently getting better and better, that's all they're going to ask for.
The thing I noticed this weekend was, unlike the first couple of races, his race pace was better than Norris's.
So much better.
And he was able to move up the field. We saw he was on lap 40 or whatever it was on the medium, still on his first stint, running the same times and quicker than the cars behind him that his relative pace towards. He didn't have the pace to jump them, but his pace was better than what Norris's was, and he's consistently gaining on him.
Yeah.
And that's where Danny Rick's big strength is, in his racecraft and his race strength. So that was good to see. That's the difference we made up from last week and this week. And unfortunately, qualifying for him really ruined his race weekend. But if he hadn't have been passed by Alonso storming home, P8 would have been a bloody good result for him. We would have been sitting there going, all right, here we go. Another 10 more laps and they would have had – he would have been in P6 behind his teammate. So that's what I was stoked to see. The 10, 12 seconds he finished behind his teammate was all lost because of where he started. So I'm happy he's picked his game up. I reckon maybe not next weekend, but the race after that, he'll be 100% flying. He'll be beating Lando week in, week out.
Yeah. To be honest, was it a blessing in disguise to have to start so far back? So he had to do some on-track passing and make some moves rather than just starting high and trying to maintain high. He actually had to get back to some old Danny Ric kind of stuff with some passes on track, which is good.
And it just gives him more experience, doesn't it, in terms of how to drive this car in this, you know, with all of the stuff that we spoke about yesterday and how he wants the development to start moving in a direction that suits him better.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to pass as many cars as he did with, you know, similar kind of midfield tightness is a good thing to say, all right, this is where his skills are at. So, look, I'm still stoked that McLaren are still doing as well as they are. Let's hope that it maintains at least to the summer break before they start dropping off. Let's talk about Red Bull, because I was very happy for Sergio Perez to lead as many laps as he did. It wasn't quite the rear gunner that I think, Tommy, he was still waiting for.
I mean, he was there, but he was a long way back.
But he put it in fourth, and he has to be happy with that. And Maxi Max, Super Max, in second. Oh, I'll tell you what, he had a good run at those Mercs at one point within DRS. He was so close to taking and snatching that first.
Do you know what? That was probably my favorite part of the race, was when the top three were actually competing really closely and overtaking each other. That was actually exciting. We don't see that often. It's first place just runs away with it and then that's the end of the race. We were actually seeing the first three drivers shifting places for a good 20 laps.
Yeah, Verstappen's mighty quick. He's way quicker than what Perez is. I think Perez, he's better than the last three teammates in Kvyat, Albon and Gasly. but he's still not where Red Bull want him to be. The only thing that's going to keep him in that seat is that he is finishing fourth consistently.
It's minimum requirement there.
Minimum requirement.
Yeah.
And he's doing it with ease at the moment.
Yeah, he is.
In a tighter midfield than what it's been. So, and when he has been trapped in the middle of the pack, he's been able to work his way through the cars and
yep.
get the job
done. And you know what we said with Perez? If he was in that situation like he was today leading and there was a safety car, he's going to capitalise because he does that stuff well.
Yep.
So he was doing the right thing by the team. He was there to take it if it came, but unfortunately no safety car. Danny Rick would have benefited too if that happened, but that would have been awesome.
I think the Honda power unit's not as good as the Merc.
Mm. Nah, they were ducks on the straights. Like
I think I think this race proved Mercedes are still the better car.
Yep.
Not by what they have been in the last two or three years, and the gap is getting smaller every year, but it's still the better car, and I just think ultimately Hamilton goes on to, you know, probably win 13 out of 23 this year. Just the way that that guy's driving at the moment is unbelievable. I mean, he passed Max and his teammate on track.
Yeah, that.
It's a shame.
Well, let's talk about Mercedes. Let's talk about VB, Campy and Ham.
Well, VB got off to the start.
He did.
First lap.
They both started well.
First lap, I think it was 8 tenths. By the second lap, by the time safety car came out, VB had amassed, you know, a 1.8 second lead.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for him, after that safety car restart, he didn't fire the tyres up quick enough.
To be honest, though, I'd give that a very good score for his restart, the way he set up Hamilton to get away. And Max jumped Lewis as well, so.
But
you're right. The tyres weren't fired up.
If he had have gone from without that yellow flag, safety car, he would have had that buffer to not be in the DRS zone for the whole time.
Yep.
And I think he would have been able to manage the race a lot better outside of that DRS zone.
He couldn't get out of it, could he?
And he couldn't get out of it. He was under pressure from Verstappen, then he was under pressure from Hamilton. And, it was a shame to see, but. He's got no excuses.
Nope.
If you look at Lewis in that car, he's able to extract pace out of it that Valtteri can't at the moment. It's a shame. If it had been on a track like a Barcelona or a Monaco where it's harder to pass, Valtteri wins all day.
Well, if Valtteri didn't get passed by his own teammate, he would have won because they would have been in the opposite situation when they went to pit and they would have had to pit Hamilton first.
He still should have had a second.
I mean,
Mercedes shit the bed on the pit stop.
Yeah.
It gave him a 3.8 second pit stop or 3.5
behind.
Compared to Max Verstappen's 1.9 or something, which is incredible. But that's the difference when he's coming out on cold tyres and he's under pressure.
Yep.
He can't light those tyres up. Of course Verstappen's going to swing it past him. And when he gets throttle happy and makes a mistake because his tyres are cold, he's frustrated. And then when he's in his second stint on the hard tyres, Valtteri's pushing like hell and then he gets problems in the exhaust and a sensor goes off and he loses power.
Yeah.
It's just a shame because he was coming back hard at Verstappen at that time.
Yeah.
But it's frustrating for me because I'm on Team Valtteri this year, but really it's a two-horse race between Hamilton and Verstappen.
Big time.
Yeah. Thank goodness, though. At least we've got two horses involved this time.
Yes.
And at least one of them is not from Mercedes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And a fake horse, really. A Shetland.
Shetland. Has it got wings or something? Is that what you mean?
Well, look, all in all, though, boys, Portimao.
He's a horse, man, is he?
Portimao was not a bad race. Definitely worth.
3 out of 5.
Definitely worth staying up for. I'm not confident that Barcelona this weekend coming is going to be worth staying up for.
Can you say it correctly? Sorry.
Sorry, Barcelona.
Barcelona. Barcelona.
Here we go. Yeah.
Can I just give a shout out to the shittest national anthem I've ever heard on the F1 grid?
I was going to say.
That was horrible.
As performed by Wolfpack, can I just say?
It was not Wolfpack.
It looked like Wolfpack in terms of just what like they were wearing.
They tried to sound like Wolfpack, but that was horrible. Whoever was in charge of picking that,
trying to
just quit.
Do something new.
Just something quit different. And resign. That was
fly past, though. Had four F-16s, very close, which was nice. Didn't do a whole lot, though. It was just kind of like a tight see you later over the top. So it was a 5.2 out of 10 for that. And the 0.2, as I said in our Discord, is an extra point only because of whoever's flying the first jet clearly downloaded the DLC for the Call of Duty skin for that thing, because it just looked ridiculous. Like, oh, yeah, here comes a bright tiger bloody looking fighter jet. Ridiculous. Yeah. It's only a COD thing for sure. Let's look at Fantasy League. Would you like to do the sting, Campy?
Oh, I don't know what the sting is.
Oh, don't you? Okay. You well, normally you do. Fantasy.
Fantasy.
There you go.
Fantasy.
He's stage fright.
It like does. You. Put him on the spot. Fantasy. No, he's too busy because now it's his moment to shine. Campy, please read out your favourite names from this week.
Well, look, to give this some context, I'm not on the internet. I don't understand this stuff. So the first... The person who was number one, his name is Ross J. He's got the Irish flag. Love the Irish, you know. But his this team name is it's Friday, then it's Saturday, and then Sunday. What? These two pricks are laughing. I've got zero idea what that even means. That doesn't make sense. Explain to me. So. Is it one of those, like, is that what she said, diaper moments?
No.
He's got no clue.
I've got no idea.
He's got no clue.
There's a few duds in here, actually. Cars go fast. Lachlan D make a better effort.
Yeah. Campy calls out names.
Pick your good ones, Campy.
Here comes the Sonoda. That's good.
Let me give a shout out to Dave Munnis, who is in fourth, the William John Story Appreciation Society.
Yeah.
Good a lot.
Winnie Reds, F1 Racing, not bad.
Cries in DTM. Solid. Nick B, 10, love that. That's great. We also in 11th and 12th, both versions of Nikita Mazepin. Nikita Mega Spin and Nikita Mazepin. Very good.
Yeah, there's some duds in here.
You got cynical towards the end of the podcast. I love how you started. You're like, we've got to remain positive and happy. And here we are, people putting in good effort. Like Danny Thicardo, and just oh, there's duds. Karen Horner's Tears, for example, 39. That's really, really great as well.
Well, drunk lumberjacks, I don't even get that.
It looks like you.
Really? He's Canadian.
You need to invest in some mirrors, Campy.
Canadians. And John Paul G, Campy's pool boy. What on earth are you trying to get out there, mate?
And on that note,
time that he's had to prepare to look at all the names, all he's gone is gone, oh, here's one, and the rest of them are crap.
You guys know I don't check this rubbish.
Give me a spell, mate.
Bed, Bath and Bahrain, that was the other one I liked. Very good.
How many points did you get, though?
I'm actually doing better than you two.
I got 184 this week. That's
where
good
are you sitting,
for me.
Tommy? You like 100 out of 100.
Yeah, well, shut up.
I'm still sitting 7-8, so I'm going all right.
How can I be so bad at fantasy?
I'm coming 30th. It's
I'm coming for you.
It's not. Yeah, it's looking pretty grim for Jame. To be honest, I'm not that excited about
for Jame. He just called himself Jame. Yes.
The transformation is complete.
Love it.
You play Warzone and you see Jame. That's me. And all these people are like, how do I pronounce that? It's mainly New Zealanders. It's all like, how do I pronounce that, bro? Is it Jamie? I'm like, no, it's just Jame. There's no S on the end. There's only one of me. And they're like, oh, well, that's J-A-M kind of broken my mind a bit, bro.
Yeah, bro. You apologize.
It can be used with a capital E or a 3
if you like.
No, I love
it. Great. New Zealanders are the best Warzone players. I'm still yet to try and find Stoffel on Call of Duty. Please at me.
It'll happen.
Play attack. Well, boys, that's the Portuguese Grand Prix. The good news is they are coming
double
thick
header
and fast now. We don't have any time really at all to wait before
that's what she said.
Spain before crying in DTM. But thanks so much for being up this early and reviewing this race. And thank you to you. If you enjoyed all of this, do all the stuff that good people do that listen to podcasts and watch on YouTube. And seriously, can I side note, that Michael Italiano interview was very fun to do, not just because Campy wasn't there, but we really enjoyed the chat with him, and a massive shout out to him for his time. But he is, if you don't follow Michael Italiano on Instagram, do that, because there's a lot of cool behind the scenes stuff that he's taking of Danny Rick's training and everything else from that. But thank you also for your feedback from that interview. There will be more coming this year, and we might even allow Campy in one of them if he's behaved well enough. But that's it for this episode. We'll see you next time in Spain. Boys, thank you for your time. We'll speak to you soon.
Doubtful. Good. Good work, boys.
All right, can someone please explain this joke to me now?
Can you play him the video?
Yeah. Nah, that's not important.
Yeah, that's G-rated.
Sports Social Podcast Network.